In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We remember that the favor of God was on Joseph. And I said yesterday that nothing is worth losing the favor of God. Nothing. No relationship, no sin, no money, no anything. Nothing is worth losing the favor of God. And the favor of God was with Joseph when he was in jail. It didn't just start lately. It was always with Joseph. When he was sold to the Amalekites, the favor of God was with him. And I'm telling you, if the favor of God is with you, you have everything. You have everything. You don't need anybody to tell you that you're great or that you're going to succeed. If you've got God's favor, you've got everything. I'm looking at Genesis 47, verse 13. "For in the whole world there was a want of bread, and a famine oppressed the land, especially in Egypt and in Canaan." So we see that Joseph's prophecy is coming about, that the famine fills Egypt and Canaan especially, out of which he gathered up all the money for the corn, which they bought and brought it to the king's treasury. So what happens? They buy all the corn with money that they have. And when the buyers wanted money, all Egypt came to Joseph saying, "Give us bread. Why should we die in thy presence, having now no money?" Now Joseph's going to ask for something else. And he answered them, "Bring me all your cattle, and for them I will give you food, if you have no money." And when they brought them, he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep, their oxen, and their donkeys. And he maintained them that year for the exchange of their cattle. We see Joseph is a businessman also. You know, you can be a businessman and have the favor of God on you if you're honest. You can be a businessman and have the favor of God on you, but it means that you've got to be honest. It means you've got to be truthful. The favor of God. Maybe you're listening to me and you say, "I had God's favor at one time and I lost it." That means you need to repent. That means you need to repent now and ask that the blood of Jesus would cleanse you from your sin and that you go to confession. That means that you repent, turn away from your sin. "I had the favor of God and I lost it." Well, that's okay. You can get it back again because God is not into taking away gifts. You know, his gifts are irrevocable. Sometimes he holds back, not because he wants to, but because we force his hand. So please, please, if you had the favor of God as a businessman or as anything or as a teacher or as an administrator, you can gain that favor back again by repentance. And he answered them, "Bring me all your cattle, and for them I will give you food if you have no money." And when they had brought them, he gave them food in exchange for their horses, sheep, oxen, donkeys, and he maintained them that year for the exchange of their cattle. And they came the second year and said to him, "We will not hide from our Lord how that our money is spent and our cattle also have gone. Neither art thou ignorant that we have nothing now but our bodies and our lands. Why therefore shall we die before thy eyes? We will be yours, both we and our lands. Buy us to be the king's servants, and give us seed, lest for want of tillers the land be turned into wilderness." So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt, every man selling his possessions because of the greatness of the famine, and he brought it to Pharaoh's hands. And all its people, from one end to the borders of Egypt, even to the other end, except the land of the priests, which had been given them by the king, to whom also a certain allowance of food was given out of the public stores, and therefore they were all forced to sell their possessions. Just the priests had the land and kept the land. Let me just tell you, through baptism and faith, we are priests, prophets, and kings. Through baptism and faith, we are priests, prophets, and kings. And I'm going to tell you, most people have no idea. They have no idea who they are, that they share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Not the ministerial priesthood, but the priesthood of all believers. And they have no idea that God looks favorably on his priests. God looks favorably on his priests. We just don't know who we are. I'm not only a priesthood of the believers, I am a ministerial priesthood. But I'm telling you, God looks favorable on the priests. You are a priest. You are a priest because you belong to the believing body of Christ, the priests of all believers. That you may have corn, the fifth part you shall... Then Joseph said to the people, "Behold, as you see, both you and your lands belong to Pharaoh. Take seed and sow the fields." Okay, so Joseph's going to give them seed. "That you may have corn, the fifth part you shall give to the king." Okay, he's really given the king everything, I'll tell you. "The other four you shall have for seed and for food for your families and for your children." And they answered, "Our life is in your hands. Our life is in your hands." I'm going to tell you, your life is in the hands of Jesus. Your life is in the hands of Jesus. And those hands were scarred on the cross. Your life is in the wounded, glorified hands of Jesus. And you know, again, we forget the reality that my life belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. My life belongs to Jesus. Oh, whether I'm on the mountain or in the valley, my life belongs to Jesus. Say it, my life belongs to Jesus. And Jesus can do anything he wants. I give permission to Jesus that he does anything he wants to do. Your life is in the hands of Jesus. That is so important. Not in the hands of Joseph, but in the hands of Jesus Christ. This, if that's what a believer knows, that's why the favor of God is on you, not because of you, but because of Jesus Christ, because of the Lord, because we belong to the priesthood of believers, because we are kings, prophets, and priests. Our life is in the Lord's hand. Now it says, "Only let my Lord look favorably upon us that we will gladly serve the king." From that time into this day, in the whole land of Egypt, the fifth part is paid to the king. That's a double tithe. That's a double tithe. And you know what? If they could give 20% to the king, we can give 10% to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, still Catholics don't believe in the tithe. And that is very, very sad because Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in the folds of your garment." I tell you, most Catholics think that they give Jesus a tip. As a matter of fact, they tip a waitress more than they tip Jesus. That's real. That's real. That 20% of what they made, you know, of food and went to the king, 20%, and we can't give 10% to the Lord. You say, "But I can't do it because I can barely get by now." That's right. You can barely get by now. You keep on holding on to your money, and you'll always say, "I can barely get by now." And let me tell you, our money's not going to be worth very much soon. You know, when inflation hits the country, and it's going to hit the country in a severe way, and people are going to suffer. That's why, oh, I tell you, I give my tithe and much more than my tithe to the Lord. Oh, my Lord, I take care of what I need to take care of in God, and he takes care of me. That's real. He takes care of me. How can the Lord trust you with his prized possession, that's people, if he cannot trust you with filthy lucre, with green pieces of paper with dead presidents' pictures on it. If God cannot trust me with money, he will not be able to trust me with people. That's a very important thing. That's one of the things that Jesus says. And they answered, "Our life is in your hand, Joseph. Only let my Lord look favorably on us, and we will gladly serve the king." From that time unto this day, in the whole land of Egypt, the fifth part is paid to the king, and it is become as a law, except the land of the priests, which was free from the covenant. So Israel dwelt in Egypt, that is, in the land of Goshen, and possessed it, and grew, and was multiplied exceedingly. The favor of God is on Israel and his children, on Jacob and his children. And he lived in it 17 years. Jacob lived in the land of Goshen 17 years, and all the days of his life came to 147 years. And when he saw that day of his death, that it was drawing nigh, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh, and you shall show me this kindness and truth." What is it? "Not to bury me in Egypt. Not to bury me in Egypt, but I want to sleep with my fathers, and you shall take me away out of the land and bury me in the burying place of my ancestors." And Joseph answered him, "I will do what you have commanded." And he said, "Swear then to me." And as he was swearing, Israel adored God, turning to the bed's head. So Israel says, "You know, I'm going to die. I'm going to die." After these things, it was told Joseph that his father was very sick, and he set out to go to him, taking his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And it was told the old man, "Behold, your son Joseph comes to you." And being strengthened, he sat on his bed. And when Joseph was come to him, he said, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luzah, which is the land of Canaan, and he blessed me." See, the blessing of God is irrevocable. When God blesses someone, it is forever. It is forever. I think of Sister Ruth. The blessing of God was on Sister Ruth, yes, and also on Sister Ruth Carneal, the blessing of God. And anything that they've touched turns into gold. You know, the people that they touch turn into gold because God's favor is on them. And when God's favor is on a person, it never is taken away. It is forever. That's why we never want to lose his favor. We never want to lose his favor. And he said, "I will cause you to increase and multiply." That's what he said to Jacob. "And I will make of you a multitude of people. And I will give this land to you and to your seed." That's Israel. "And after you for an everlasting possession. So your two sons who were born to thee in the land of Egypt before I came here to you shall be mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be reputed to me as Reuben and Simeon." So the two sons of Joseph are really adopted in the spirit by Jacob. By Jacob's name is Israel now. "But the rest whom you shall have after them shall be yours, and shall be called by the name of their brethren in their possessions. For when I came out of Mesopotamia, Rachel died for me in the land of Canaan, on the very journey, and it was springtime, and I was going to Ephrathah, and I buried her near the way of Ephrathah, which by another name is called Bethlehem." And you know, you can go to Rachel's tomb on the way to Jerusalem and in Bethlehem. "Then seeing his sons, he said to him, 'Who are these?' And he answered, 'They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place.' And he said, 'Bring them to me, and I may bless them.'" Okay, my sons, I'm going to tell you this. God wants his people to multiply so that our children will bear our faith. It is not God's will that we have just one or two. That is not God's will. We say we trust in the Lord, but do we trust in the Lord with our reproductive systems? Do we trust in the Lord to have many children? You say, "I can't afford it." Well, again, it's God's will that you have children. It's God's will. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say stop counting after two. Unfortunately, again, we've taken back our bodies from the Lord. They do not belong to Him. We've allowed the world and the flesh to govern our children, that we could have two as long as I have a boy and a girl. I'm telling you, friends, it's not God's will that we just have two children. Now, if that's all you can have because the Lord has closed your womb, that's another issue. That's another issue. But the truth is, God wants more children. God wants more children. For when I came out of Mesopotamia, Rachel died. Then seeing his sons, he said to him, who are these? And he answered, they are my sons from whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them to me, and I will bless them. For Israel's eyes were dim by reason of his great age, and he could not see clearly. And when they were brought to him, he kissed and embraced them, and said to his sons, I am not deprived of seeing you. Moreover, God has showed me your seed. And when Joseph had taken them from his father's lap, he bowed down with his face to the ground, and he set Ephraim on his right hand, towards the left hand was Manasseh on his left hand, to the width, towards his father's right hand, and brought them near to him. He's adopting them. But he, stretching forth his right hand, put it upon the head of Ephraim, the younger brother, and he left upon the head of Manasseh, who was the elder, changing his hands. And Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph and said, God, in whose sight my fathers Abraham, Isaac walked, God that feeds me from my youth until this day, the angel that delivered me from all evil, bless these boys, and let my name be called upon them, that's Israel, and the names of my father Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a multitude upon the earth. You know, there's another thing that people would always ask the priest for his first blessing. And you know, it's so important that we bless people. Because as we speak the word, that word becomes flesh in the people. You know, I've told you the story about Kevin and or whatever his name was, and he didn't want me to pray with him, but he said I could bless him. And when I blessed him, he went out in the spirit. And when I blessed him, he saw Jesus. And when I blessed him, he was brought to heaven. Oh, the blessing of the priest is mighty. The blessing of the priest is mighty. Also, the blessing of the father and the mother, mighty. Mighty. You know, you bless your children. It's a mighty, mighty gift that you give your children as you bless them at night. You should be blessing your children at night. They are God's gift to you. They are God's gift to me. I tell you, when people say, Father Tom, would you bless me? I just put my hand on their head and I bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. I remember my first Mass. After the first Mass, we went downstairs into the church and we had a party. And I was there blessing people, line after line after line, wanting the blessing of the new priest. But I'm telling you, it's not only the priest who blesses. That is his vocation, but it is the mother and father who bless their children, as Jacob was blessing the sons of Joseph who became his sons. The blessing is so mighty and so powerful that we don't even do it anymore. You know, we bless our food. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. We bless our food. We bless our children. We bless our parishioners. We had a wonderful priest with us this weekend. And, you know, he, at the end of the 11 o'clock Mass, went into his car. He said, I didn't want to disturb you, Father Tom, because you were laying hands upon the people who wanted prayer. And I said, you know, it always happens that way. People want to be blessed. They want someone to touch them, that God would touch them in a mighty way. It's a blessing that's very important. But, you know, most people have no idea about the blessing. Most people have no idea about the blessing. Bless your children. Bless your children. If you're pregnant, bless the baby in your womb. Have your husband and you join together praying for this baby in your womb, that he or she would become a child of God very soon. Now he or she would have the favor of God. And Joseph, seeing that his father had put his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, was much displeased, and taking his father's hand, he tried to lift it from Ephraim's head and to remove it on Manasseh. And he said to his father, "It should not be so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Manasseh is the firstborn. Put your right hand upon his head." But he refused, saying, "I know, my son, I know, and this also shall become people and shall be multiplied. But this younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall grow into nations." And he blessed them at the time, saying, "In thee shall Israel be blessed, and it shall be said, God do to thee as to Ephraim, and as he does to Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh, and said to Joseph his son, "Behold, I die, and God will be with you, and will bring you back into the land of your fathers, into Canaan. And I give you a portion above your brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorites, and with my sword and with my bow." And Jacob called his sons and said to them, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you the things that shall befall you in the last days." You see, now he's going to prophesy. He's dying, and he's going to prophesy. Going to prophesy over his children. That, you know, prophesy over your children. You don't need to be dying to prophesy over your children. Put your hands on their head and prophesy. Prophesy that they're going to become great men and women of God. Prophesy that they're going to know the word of God. Prophesy that they're going to love Jesus Christ. Prophesy. Prophesy that they're going to be used in the nations. The scripture says, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations." We do not ask for the nations, so he doesn't give it to us. The priest that was with us is from the missions, the propagation of faith. He is the head. And, you know, he told everybody that we all are missionaries. That's real. Every person that listens to me is a missionary. And we can use our money and our talent and our time to preach the gospel to other people other than in the United States. I have money that I give to Father Ilrich. And it feeds his children. He has 100 children that lost their parents with the earthquake in Haiti. I send my money to him, some of my money to him, that the word of God would be going out to these 100 children. And then I send my money also to another priest in Nigeria, Father Matthew. And you see, I can't go to Nigeria, but my money can. I can't go to Haiti, but my money can. But maybe someday I will go to Nigeria. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. I will give you the nations. I will give you the nations. Ask of me, but you don't ask. You don't ask. Reuben, my firstborn, you are my strength and the beginning of my sorrow, excelling in gifts, greater in command. You are poured out as water, you, thou, not. And because you went up to thy father's bed and did defile his couch, Simeon and Levi, brethren, vessels of iniquity, waging war, let not my soul go into their council, for my glory be in their assembly. Because of their fury they slew a man, and in their self-will they undermined a wall. Cursed be their fury, because it was stubborn, and their wrath, because it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and I will scatter them in Israel. We never want to prophesy negatively. Never. Never. You know, even when people hate me, I do not want to shake the dust off my feet against them. You know why? I do not want to curse anybody. I do not want to curse anybody. I just want to bless people. And I want to bless even my enemies. To bless even my enemies. I do. I don't. I don't shake the dust when people don't receive me. You know why? Because I don't want the Lord to curse these people. I just say, you know, Lord, you take care of them. They don't belong to me anyway. They belong to you, and I give you them, and you just take care of them. I'm not going to curse anybody. With the prophetic word, I want to speak God's word. I want to say the things that the Lord tells me to say, but I do not want to curse anyone. Jacob began to curse some of his children. I'm not into it. I'm not into it. I'm into blessing, because Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. Yes. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. Don't lose the anointing. Don't lose the favor of God. Don't lose what God has given you. Don't lose it. Don't trade it for a plate of porridge or for a woman or for a man. Don't trade in the blessing that God has put upon your head for something of someone. It's not worth it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you. May the Lord look upon you and give you his peace. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed in the name of God. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.